So a lot's been happening over the course of the last year with me. I've had a new job, had a child, started a new fellowship near where I live, with a pastor who is also incidentally an ex-Jehovah's Witness. And that fellowship has really grown in the past year as well. So it's all been keeping me busy. Bobby keeps me very busy in the ministry on the Jehovah's Witness side of things. And as Ian said, I've been in the last 3 days talking to some Jehovah's Witnesses. I've always been blessed by being here with you guys, to be fair. I know Ian was praying about it earlier. Just to come and be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and listening to everybody sing from the heart because of the belief, of the knowing that you're saved by your grace. For those of you who don't know a lot about Jehovah's Witnesses, it was a religion started back in the 1800s by a guy called Charles Fayes Russell. I won't go through the whole history of how it went through all the changes, but essentially Charles Fayes Russell started this organisation in America, strangely, and that's where they all come from. And essentially he was the one who believed that Jesus was going to return in 1914. And obviously Jesus didn't return in 1914. However, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that in 1914 Jesus did in fact return, and he returned invisibly. One of the things that we're trying to get across to Jehovah's Witnesses over the past few days is the fact that in Revelation it clearly says that when Jesus returns, every eye will see. Yeah. It doesn't say he'll come back invisibly. But from then onwards, really, Jehovah's Witnesses as a religion have grown. And there's only one reason they're able to grow, and that is because of the evil spirit that is behind them, sadly. Mm-hmm. And I grew up as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. My parents were in it. My grandparents were in it. And I'll just tell you, I'll give you a little bit. I know some of you have heard my testimony before. You probably haven't heard a great deal about it, so I hope you don't mind. I'll go into a bit more detail as how I came to know the Lord and share with you a few scriptures that really did change my life. I grew up as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Right from a young age, I was door knocking. At the age of 7, I was on the platform giving talks at the age of 7 in my Kingdom Hall in front of 40, 50 people. Not really knowing what it is that I really did believe in. My parents were obviously heavy Jehovah's Witnesses. You may not be aware of some of this, but they are very much against further education. They're very much against, obviously I wasn't allowed in any assemblies in school because they sang to sing hymns. I don't know if they still do that. I don't know if you're still allowed to sing Christian hymns in school, I'm not sure. But certainly I wasn't allowed to. Obviously I was pulled out of anything Christmas related, anything religious studies related. So I was kept in a little bubble. And sadly that's the case for most Jehovah's Witnesses. They're kept in a little bubble. And for 23 years this is what I followed, this is what I adhered to. When I was I was married at the age of 19, and over the course of my marriage I had lots of questions regarding my faith. There were certain things that I couldn't get my head around. I didn't understand why at memorial time we would all pass around the emblems and no one would partake, when Jesus said that this is something that you should do in remembrance of me. So we never took communion as a Jehovah's Witness, and most of them don't. I didn't understand that the fact that my hope, and apologies if some of you don't know this, but Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that you have a hope that's in heaven. They believe that your hope is solely on the earth, and my hope was going to be in paradise. I couldn't understand that the fact that I was actually never going to go and meet my Lord. I was never going to meet him because he was up there and I was down here. I couldn't understand this. As soon as you start asking questions though as a Jehovah's Witness, you're branded what they call an apostate for asking questions. And so I kept this bottled up for many, many years. And at the age of 23, I broke big time. And I spent a good year in the wilderness. Hands up, I did a lot of things wrong. I won't go into it, but needless to say, I did some things very, very wrong. and through it, I got kicked out of the organisation. I confessed all of my sins to the elders, hoping that they would forgive me. They didn't, they threw me out. And again, for those of you who aren't aware, if you're thrown out of this organisation, you are shunned. And I don't use that term lightly. If a Jehovah's Witness sees me in the street to this day, they will still shun me and act like they have never ever met me. And that's why I have on the front of my t-shirt here, "Would Jesus Shun People?" Because this organisation claims to follow Jesus. And for a long time, I spent just thinking, what have I done? I've let Jehovah down, I've let the organisation down, I've let my family down. I didn't really know what to turn to. When you get kicked out of your little bubble, the first thing you want to do is run back. And so for a little while, that's what I tried to do. Would politely allow people to shun me. I would politely go and sit at the back of the Kingdom Hall and not talk to anybody to try and show I was repentant. I don't know how sitting at the back of the Kingdom Hall would show you repentance, and quite frankly, that's between you and the Lord. It's not really to do with anybody else, but I didn't think that way at the time. And I was walking down the street in my local town, and my sister, who is a Jehovah's Witness and still is to this day, was coming in the other direction. And she took one look at me, and she shook her head, and then walked to the other side of the road. And I went home, and I broke down and said, "Jehovah, if this is your organisation, I do not want to know you." Because I said, this is evil. And then I hit the drink really hard. And August the 30th, 2008, I went into my local watering hole, I suppose, and got very, very drunk. And that night I also met a girl who I didn't realise at the time was also going through some difficult times, who was also completely wasted. She was drunk as anything. And but through it we exchanged numbers and started to become good friends. At this point I'm still trying to get back into the Watchtower organisation because I just don't think I've got anything else, nowhere else to go. So I started to try and rebuild. But I uploaded some of my questions and some of my burdens, I suppose, to this girl that I met, and I said, "I don't understand why, you know, this religion who claims to follow Christ would shun me. Why would they not be forgiven?" And she said, "Well, have you ever looked at another argument? Have you ever looked to see if there's anything else? Have you ever studied the Bible?" She said, "And I'm an atheist. She grew up as a Mormon," and she said, I don't believe at all. So I started looking at these different religions. I went to her mother's Mormon church. The less said about that, the better, I think. I could see that these guys didn't have truth. I looked at what it is that Richard Dawkins had got to say in his book, The God Delusion. His argument really didn't stand up at all. I watched the debate he did with John Lennox and even with the Archbishop of Canterbury, and saw that his argument with regards to there being no God was actually not a good argument at all. And so I thought, well, what is there then? What is truth? And so I just started picking up my Bible and started reading it. And I started going to a little Baptist church near where I live. I still didn't take communion. I still didn't believe it was for me. I thought it was for the 144,000 that were going to heaven, and it wasn't for me. But I went along for a little while, and I started attending a little Bible study as well, and just wanted to know what the scriptures really said. What did the scriptures really teach about my salvation? I remember reading this one verse, and it's taken from Galatians 2. And at this point, I have a New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and it said exactly the same thing as there as what it was doing here. King James or your English Standard Version, which is what I've got here. And in Galatians 2, in verse 21, it says, "I do not put aside the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I thought, I always thought my salvation was based on how good I could be, or how much works I did, how many doors I knocked on. Well, here the Bible says very plainly that if we were declared righteous by a law, then what was the point in Jesus dying in the first place? So these things are going around in my head, and I'm starting to understand a little bit more about grace. I read various scriptures as well in the New Testament in John. John 20:28 was a big one for me, where Thomas explicitly calls Jesus God. I always believed Jesus was the Archangel Michael, and there it said he was God at the time. He says, this is mad, I thought Jesus was God's son, that he was the Archangel Michael, he was a created being. This is all the things that I used to think. And I thought, well, this is what the scriptures are saying, and, you know, I can't get around them, you know. So, carried on going to this Baptist church, and they were singing a song. It's a modern song. I'm not a massive fan of a lot of the modern day gospel songs, but this one was actually very good. It was by a guy called Paul. I think it is. And it was a song called "Our God Saves." And it was this thing about "Our God Saves," and there were all these Christians all with their hands up, all singing "Our God Saves." I'm thinking, I'm not saved, I want to be saved. There's a guarantee that lies in salvation. I never had that. And so I put my hands up to God and I said, I want this. I want to be saved. I want this assured expectation, this guarantee that all these guys have. And so I wondered what I needed to do. And then I was reading my Bible in the church, where it said, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I realised at that point, that no matter how much hard I tried, I was, and I was always going to be a sinner, because our God is so good, and we are so bad. And that we throw our burdens onto Christ. So I put my hands up to the Lord, and I said, for all the times that I've let you down, for all the times I denied who you were, and for all the times I'm going to let you down, Lord, please forgive me. And then it was time for communion on this day. And the words kept on rattling around in my head of John 6:53, where it said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I know that's in a spiritual sense, not in a literal one like the Catholics believe, but That verse kept going around in my head, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. Well, I want eternal life. John 3:3 kept running around in my head. Unless anyone is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And I said to the Lord, I said, look, I no longer care what it is I've been taught. I just want to follow your scriptures. The communion came round, the bread and wine came round, and I took it, and at that point, I was born again. Wow. I stopped belonging to this organisation, I stopped belonging to any religion, and now I belong to Christ. Wow. I've been adopted into his family. As all of you being here as Christians, you will all know that following Christ comes at a cost. It cost me my whole family. My grandparents, to this day, still Jehovah's Witnesses. I have many auntie and uncles and cousins that are still Jehovah's Witnesses. My mum and dad are still very zealous Jehovah's Witnesses. Up until about 3 months ago, I hadn't seen them for about 6 years. The birth of their grandson has definitely started our hope of building a bridge. I don't know how you could resist his little faith. everyone has had a price to pay for following Christ, and that was mine. And what happened after then was is that this girl that I met on this drunken night out, who used to be a Mormon, became my wife, and also is now born again. And so when I got an email from Bobby Gilpin from UK Partnerships of Christ saying, "Would you like to be part of my ministry, which is for Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons?" Well, I knew this was my calling. And so now I spend my days following the Lord, walking with Christ, and trying to preach the gospel to everyone, but in particular I try to reach out to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we try and encourage Jehovah's Witnesses to read the Bible, not the Watchtower, hence the slogan on the back of this t-shirt here, "Read the Bible, not the Watchtower.com. I don't know if you many of you know a guy called David Reed, but David Reed was an elder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he once went to a convention. Somebody was holding a big sign that said, "Read the Bible, not the Watchtower," and he was saved. Anybody who thinks that street preaching is a lost art, that people don't listen to it, last year, myself and some fellow Christians were at Coventry, and I had an email about 3 months later from somebody who said that was the encouragement that they needed in order to be able to walk away from this organisation and had been saved. On Saturday, it was Sunday now, but yeah, on Saturday, on Saturday I met somebody called Janet, who goes to Christ Church in Leeds, who actually saw us at the Leeds Convention last year. She has now since rejected the faith of the Watchtower, was born again in February, and now she was standing with us, reaching out to the old people of her congregation. Don't let anybody ever tell you that evangelizing doesn't work. It does. It's a command from Christ. And I know it's something that you guys do a lot of, and it might seem sometimes that you're banging your head against a brick wall, but I know that once we get up there, there'll be people that'll be coming up to you and going, "That was what your message was, one of the things that I needed." You might only just play a small part. It might just be a little bit of watering that you've done in order to help a seed. And ultimately, it's God who makes it grow. And we'll find out one day for sure of exactly what's happened. Well, that's my story. And so, when a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on your door, please, please, I beg of you, don't tell them you're not interested. Tell them your story as to how it is you've come to know Christ, because they won't know them. They won't know Christ. And as Ian has already mentioned, Matthew 24 says that many false prophets would come before us. They are following one. They are not born again. And they're on their way to hell, quite frankly. And we have a responsibility as Christians to reach out to them. People have said to me before that surely all roads lead to God. I would say I absolutely 100% agree. It's just whether or not you go to His glory or you go to His wrath. They all lead to God somehow. It's just what part of it you want to be part of. So that's my story. I appreciate your time listening to me. And like I say, please keep praying for Jehovah's Witnesses that they may come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen.